Welcome to Mount Pleasant Methodist Church in Van Cleve, Mississippi. Thank you for joining us for today's sermon. This is our sermon for May 24th, 2026.
But yeah, I know. I'm thinking, but I actually was a cheerleader in college, and at the reunion last year, I ran into a lady named, I can't remember what her married name was, but her name in college was Debbie Harville, and she was from Florida, and so she was at the reunion, and I didn't recognize her, and she recognized me. She said, "Oh, you haven't changed a bit, except 200 pounds you've had it on in 50 years." But I said, "Well, tell me who you are." She said, "I was a cheerleader with you." I said, "You were, yeah." So it turned out that she's Global Methodist. On top of that, which makes it even better, and her husband, her active in a very large Global Methodist church in the Orlando, Florida area. But one of the things she reminded me, when you're a cheerleader, you can't get laryngitis. You got to keep the spirit up. You got to keep the energy. In fact, that's the whole point of cheerleading, is leading the cheers. But I did that because I think that sometimes we get confused about what we think the spirit is in the church. We may think that it's something that is about just doing that. We've got spirit. How about you? We've got spirit. What about you? We've got spirit in this church, obviously. And in fact, I think about that. Two of our newest members, one of our oldest members, sharing about the same thing, how the Spirit has worked in the past and in the near future and in the very present, and how God is going to work in the future in this church. I heard that from all three of them, how God is at work finding us a place so that we can say, "We got Spirit, how about you?" But I want to talk, I read the scripture earlier, but I want to really refer to Gary's reading this morning and talk real quickly, and you can jot these notes down or you can watch the sermon when you get home on our YouTube page. But I want to think about what the actual Spirit means. The reality is that when the Holy Spirit moved the disciples, it moved them from sadness to joy, from simply surviving and hanging on to revival and renewal. The reality is that the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus' followers at Pentecost. So what does it mean? First of all, Pentecost means this, that Jesus is present forever. We were praying in the back room a while ago, and Woody reminded me of something that this day is. It's not only Pentecost, but Pentecost, as you read that scripture, was the feast of, some call it, but I call it the Feast of Booths. And if you've ever been involved in a camp meeting, maybe you've not thought about this, or maybe you didn't even know this at all, that the Jews, when they came out of exile in Egypt, were reminded of their slavery, were reminded that they were having to worship other gods, and to remind them of God's salvation and of God's presence with them as they wandered in the wilderness, they established this festival, and it was called the Festival of Booths, meaning booths. They built little tents. Can I say it? They built a campground. And they would go and they would worship and they would celebrate and they would remind themselves that no matter where they were, no matter what their condition, no matter whether they were traveling from Egypt to the Promised Land or whether they were in the Promised Land, whether they were there in Jerusalem or all over the world, as you read those lists of countries and nationalities and languages that were there that day, no matter who they are or where they were, that God was present. And so on the day of Pentecost, it says, when they were all gathered in one place, there was a sound like violent wind, and they saw what seemed to be a fire coming down on their heads, and they began to speak, and guess what happened? The Lord was present. And the Lord didn't just come and stay in that one moment, not just in that time in the temple, not just on that day of in Acts 2, but the Lord came present. And get this, we forget this sometimes, the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in them. Paul said it this way, it's not me that lives, but Christ that what? Lives in me. The day of Pentecost means that there will never be a time in which God is not present with his people. In fact, Jesus said it this way later on. He said, if just two or three of you are gathered in my name, then what? I am present. I'm here. So that's the first thing. God's present. He's not going anywhere. He's going to remind us of his presence. He's going to remind us of his power. He's going to remind us of where he is and who he is. Excuse me. So there's a second thing. The same God who moved and worked through the earthly Jesus is now present, working with us and through us now. Do you believe that? Do you believe, and Alicia kind of alluded to it, do you believe that when you share, when you teach, or when you witness, or when you, John, when you go to the feed store or to the grocery store, or Paul, when you're thinking about those people who were nourishing you, that's Jesus literally working in you and through you. And that's why somebody, John said he heard things were going on at Mount Pleasant. Can I tell you something? Things have always been going on at Mount Pleasant. God's always been present. We may just be getting like the two cheerleading groups. We're just getting enough buzz now that people are beginning to say, gosh, you know. And you know something else that they all three said, that they all three experienced through that spirit, through that buzz, they all experienced the love of Jesus Christ. That somebody put it this way. When the Holy Spirit begins to indwell believers in Jesus Christ, they really become Jesus to other people. Let me say that again. When the Spirit of God indwells you. And somebody said, well, when did that happen? It happened at your baptism. When you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it happened at your baptism, and you received the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus breathed in the upper room that night after Easter. And just like on the day of Pentecost, it comes down. Same, one and the same Spirit operating in totally, almost seemingly different ways. You see, because when we get the indwelling of the Spirit, we literally then become Jesus himself doing his work of his kingdom on this earth. So Jesus is present, working through us and in us and with us to build up the kingdom of God and never ever gonna leave us. We've talked about that before. Here's the second thing. Secondly, the Pentecost means that the church community is empowered, and that the community comes together. Let me share this, and this is quick, and somebody's going to catch me after church and say, well, what does that mean? When the Holy Spirit comes, the church, it's not just for the one individual. It wasn't just for Peter who was preaching. It wasn't just for the 12 disciples. It was for all who were gathered. It's later, we talked about the 120. And guess what? It fell on them. And then guess what? As it fell on them and they preached and proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ, it fell on over 3,000 people at one time. Can I tell you something? When the Holy Spirit comes, it comes for the whole church. It's not an individual action. It's not something that we practice in isolation. It's something that happens when we're together. John talked about it. Alicia talked about it. Paul talked about it. The body of Christ, the Bible studies, the Sunday school class, the fellowship on Sunday morning. You see, when the day of Pentecost comes, it says they were all together in one place. Well, that's because why? Because Jesus said, I want you to be together in one place. Was Jesus concerned about unity? He was. You see, it says later on in Acts 1:14, it says that they were all united in their devotion to prayer. In addition, later it states in Luke 24 that when he invited his followers to stay in the city until they'd been clothed on high, it is together in the context of unity. The Holy Spirit comes to bring us together, not pull us apart. That's why, Woody, when y'all studied Corinthians, you were talking about all the divisions that were going on there. The divisions weren't being called by the Holy Spirit, the divisions would be caused by people assuming that they had the power of the Holy Spirit for themselves. Oh, goodness. That'll preach, won't it? When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit comes to tell us Jesus is present, not just through us, but indwelling in us. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's for the community of faith, it's for the church, and it's to build the church up and to bring unity in the church. And then there's a third thing. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, it went public. Not just to tell the church, hey, I'm here. I'm not going to leave you alone. I promised you a comforter. I'm going to leave you alone. And not just so that they would be bound together in unity, but so that everybody in the world would know what was going on. John, I think you're right. When the word begins to leak out, then the Holy Spirit's doing its job in a church. When the word begins to get around and people begin to hear that, man, they love you over there. They'll greet you. It's like a guy sitting back in the back corner told me one time when he first came to this church, he said, they really wanted me there. Amen? When the Holy Spirit comes, the message of God's love and grace goes public. It's not hidden. It's not kept in the four walls on Sunday morning. It goes out into the entire world. You see, Jesus had been raised from the dead. He had shown to be the Lord and Savior, but nobody knew how to talk about it. Nobody knew how to share that. And that's why I think when they stood in awe and Jesus said, now, before I ascend and go up into heaven, which we talked about last week, He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait there and wait until I send you the power of the what? Holy Spirit. And when I do, guess what's going to happen? It's going to go public. No more upper room private conversations about, well, do you really think he rose? Or why do you think he waited 3 days? No discussion, no Bible study kind of questions. It was questions to say, now here we go, and we're going to Jerusalem. And we're going on the day of the Feast of Booths, where there'll be thousands and thousands of people from all over the world. You know, if God had a better plan, he couldn't have planned it any better, because here's what he did. On a day in which people from all over the world would be in Jerusalem, he chose to publicly announce who Jesus was to the world. We got Spirit. How about you? We got Spirit. How about you? It's not asking it in a confrontational way or two cheer squads hollering across the gym floor or a football stadium. It's literally saying, we want you to have the Spirit. We want you to know of Christ. We want you to know of His love and grace. We want you to know of His salvation. We want you to know it. When the Holy Spirit comes into a church, that church has the presence of Christ, that church becomes unified, and when the Holy Spirit comes, that church begins to proclaim Christ to the world. Amen? And then there's one final thing. I guess I'll tell this story. Years ago, I had a lady that first introduced me somewhat to prison ministry. She wasn't really much she wasn't a very good speaker. She wasn't a good teacher. She wasn't the times I was with her in Bible study or outside of the worship service in church, she didn't appear to have any really major gifts. And so one day we were talking, and I'll say her name was Ethel. That wasn't her name, but I don't want to give it away. And I said, Miss Ethel, I said, you look sad today. And she said, well, I've been sick. And I didn't even know this. I said, we knew you've been sick. We've been praying for you. She said, and she had a bunch of cards she had brought to church that morning. They spilled out of her purse and they actually fell in the floor in the entryway into the church. And somebody, one of the ushers, was helping getting up. And I looked at him and I didn't recognize them as any of the writing or the addresses on the cards. I said, who are those from? She said, they're from my guys at the jail. I said, what? Now, Miss Ethel seemed like the kind of lady was scared to really get out after night, and she's the last person I ever thought would be going to the jail. I said, so they're from your guys at the jail. I thought, you're writing them cards, and they're writing your cards back. She said, oh, no, I go twice a week, and I sit with them, and I pray for them, and some of them actually call me their mama or their aunt, she said, whatever they want to call me, and I'd sit just talk and listen to their problems. I said, you go twice a week to the jail? When do you do that? She said, whenever they call me. And she had 50, 60 cards there from some now not even in jail, not even inmates. And I looked at one of them, and it said, thank you for sharing Jesus with me. I said, Miss Ethel, how did you do that? Did you train for jail ministry? Did you go to prison fellowship, or did you go to a kind of event I went to this week over in Gulfport with the chaplain for the Harrison County Jail put on? I said, did you do anything like that? Did you feel a, she said, no. She said, you know, I had a friend, her son went to jail. And I said, when was that? She said, 43 years ago. And I said, so you've been going to the jail twice a week for 43 years? And she looked at me and she just kind of smiled and she said, well, the Holy Spirit just kind of nudged me. And I went. I learned later after I left there that when she died, that her funeral service was fairly well attended by church folks, but there were over 90 inmates, some of them more than 40 years that they had met Miss Ethel, some that she had met 3 weeks earlier at her funeral. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. It fills us in the indwelling with the presence of Christ so that we could go into places that we never thought we could go. We could share things that we never thought we could share. We could offer Christ in ways we never thought we could do it. And we could offer to people that we certainly never thought were on our list of prospective members of Mount Pleasant. And so, when the Holy Spirit comes, like it did on the day of Pentecost, we got Jesus. Just like the Hebrew children had their booths to remind them of God's eternal presence, we got the Holy Spirit. We got Spirit. Yes, we do. And the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost so that they would be together in community, working through the Spirit as one to share Christ's love and grace. And third, we got Spirit. Yes, we do. So that we have the strength and the power and the courage to go to places like dark, dingy jails for 43 years, twice a week. We got Spirit. Yes, we do. We got Spirit. How about you? Let's pray. We do have Spirit. Lord, we've never doubted that your Spirit has been present at Mount Pleasant. And Lord, we don't know. There may have been times when it was doing all the things that the Spirit needs to do to build us up as the body of Christ, to help us know of your presence and to make public the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ and his salvation to the world. But Lord, now we hear it plainly. We're beginning to share it with one another. And Lord, I'm thankful for our witnesses today. And in fact, I'm thankful for the witnesses that you will raise up in the coming weeks and months ahead, that we'll begin to say, you know, Lord, we've got Spirit. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Help us, fill us, indwell us, empower us. Open our mouths that we might show forth your praise. Open our hearts that we might love those who are unloved. Open our lives that we might give freely, that those all around us might know of your love and grace in Jesus Christ. We got Spirit. Yes, we do. Thank you, Lord, for sending it and pouring it out on each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us in God's Word today. If this message encouraged or challenged you, share it with someone who needs to hear it. That's part of witnessing boldly. We're so grateful you're part of this global Methodist family. May you go from here filled with the joy of the Lord and the power of His Spirit. Until next Sunday, walk closely with Jesus. God bless you.